You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Welcome on back to Dana and Parks on this post-holiday Monday.
Woo!
Woo!
Did you have a good weekend?
I went floating in the lake. I used a tube. What nice. I did was not tubing. It was more just sitting there and being happy.
Welcome to lake life. I love it.
It was phenomenal.
That's awesome.
We went fishing, Sam. I caught two bass.
Okay.
Threw it right on back in.
How many hours do we think?
Not terrible. Not terrible.
Okay, good.
Like
good.
20 minutes in and out, I was like, here we go.
There you go.
What I have learned about fishing, you guys, if I may, as an angler,
okay. Simmer down.
Really enjoy the process of casting and the monotony of the reeling it in and casting.
You figured it out.
I don't really need to catch the fish. In fact, when I do, there's this flurry of, oh, I got one, excitement, followed by, I just feel bad. Because
I have to unhook this thing.
Yeah, I'm like, take it off, sorry. And I literally say, I'm sorry 10 times, and then we throw him back. I'm more like, I just like the casting and the reeling in and the casting and the reeling in.
That is the true joy of fishing. If it was about catching the fish, they'd call it catching.
Right.
Yeah.
It's fishing.
Yep.
Absolutely loved it. Had the kids out for the holiday, watched a phenomenal fireworks display. Everybody came back home with all 10 fingers and 10 toes. It was just a great weekend. We do have a new resident in our home that I'd like to talk to you about.
Uh-oh. Is it a bird that came down the chimney?
I just looked this up. AI is so great for so many things. Oh. And I don't want to bother our animal control friends.
Oh.
But I do need to ask you. Kids sent me a bunch of photos last night from our back patio area. And they said, oh my gosh, Mom, look. And I'm looking at the photo. I'm like, what am I looking at? A Carolina wren has decided to put her nest with four or five little eggs in our enclosed patio.
Oh.
And if it's enclosed, you might be wondering, how did she get in? Well, over the fourth weekend, we kept the door slightly ajar. The cats were kind of inside, outside. They wanted out in the morning. And I thought, if you want out, that's fine. But I need a place for them to cool off. There's a fan in there. It's very cool in there. Probably like 75, 80 degrees in that room.
You have a completed nest.
I have a completed nest. And I did one better. This morning, we have a surveillance camera out there. And I very quietly went in and I flipped the camera around to watch the nest.
Okay. Are you leaving the door cracked now at least?
Well,
otherwise they can't get back out.
That's my question. And, you know, one of the things Johnny said was we can just move the nest.
But you cannot.
When I looked at...
Well, you can't now that you've talked about
when
it.
When I looked at... Well, but I wouldn't have any way, and here's why, Sam. We are supposed to coexist with wildlife.
Yeah.
We just talked to our animal control friends about this. If there was a way to safely move the nest to a safer place for mama, I'm all ears. If there's someone in the wildlife animal control community that can do that,
how would
the mom know where we moved it? Number one, I also don't want her to injure herself trying to get in and out. So the door remains open for now.
Okay.
But one of the things I read specifically in the AI thing, when I asked, what is this nest? It immediately came back and said, that looks like a Carolina wren nest. And it is not suggested you move that.
It's not only not suggested, it is a federal crime.
Oh, okay.
Yes. If that it is a completed nest.
What does that mean?
It has eggs in it.
Oh, yeah.
That would be a completed nest.
Oh, it's complete.
It actually happened to me because we have a closed-in patio.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago, I noticed the same wren.
No way.
Flying in and out of my patio, which is pretty uncommon. You know, we don't have a lot of birds flying around inside the patio. And I looked up on top of the TV that we have out there, and sure enough,
there she is.
There was the makings of a nest. I looked up the law. I saw it said completed nest.
Okay.
There were no eggs. It wasn't even really nest shaped yet.
She was just starting.
She was just dropping the stuff off to start the building. I took care of it.
You just pulled the rug right out from under her after like 9 hours of hard work versus 30 hours of hard work.
I didn't break any federal laws. You, on the other hand.
Well, the nest.
Might break a federal law.
The nest is still there. I am not going to disrupt it. However, It's just, I worry about the mama bird coming in and out and whacking herself into the glass and
now
having issues coming in and out.
You do know that you could I'm not suggesting it. I would never suggest it. You could handle these problems and not talk about it on the radio and nobody would know
right.
You broke a federal law.
But I would not do that because
I'm not suggesting that you
I would not do that because I want to do right by Mother Nature.
I hear you.
You know, I'm not the one that's going to be here saying, let's break the law. So
see, I just took a broom and cleared what it was not a complete
Samuel,
nest.
Samuel, I would have at least moved the beginnings of the nest
into a...
safe, like a tree.
Oh, I moved him to the yard.
Okay. All right. I'm just here to tell you, I ain't breaking no law.
I'm proud of you.
And the minute those babies hatch, oh my gosh, I'm quite excited. I will share the video.
Your new house is becoming a breeding ground for federal law breaking.
We are friends of the wildlife.
First, we had the chimney swifts that mysteriously died.
Yep. We have a cap on our chimney now, so that
there
will be. Yeah, we took care of that right out of the gate this year. Sadly, did you guys hear a little update from the Highway Patrol? There were 9 traffic deaths over the weekend on the Missouri side and 3 drownings reported across the state during the counting. They call it the counting period every single year.
It goes from the Thursday before the holiday
or
typically 2-3 days before the holiday into a day or two after. It's just the holiday weekend.
I saw one of the drownings sadly was out at the Ozarks. Mm-hmm. I hate to say this. I hate it when the kids go to the Ozarks. It scares me to death.
I'm surprised it was only one.
Well, we know this. 4th of July is a peak time for drowning and emergencies out there. But I heard middays talking about swimming and swimming lessons this afternoon and the importance of making sure the young people in your family know how to swim.
Yeah.
Historically, I don't know the ages of those that we lost over the holiday weekend. Historically, those that we lose over the holiday weekend are young males in their 20s.
Yeah, it's not because they don't know how to swim. It's because they're in a state where they physically don't have the ability to swim or to know that they need to be
swimming
right now.
Or they go off a dock and hit their head.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm curious because I heard the tail end of this conversation on middays. If you are someone who either does not swim well or cannot swim, what is the age that you think that ship has sailed? Because I did not learn how to swim until it was too late. It was too late. I was like 13 or 14, taught myself how to put my head underwater. But could I save myself in a lake? No. Can I doggy paddle? Yes. Can I float on my back for a little while? Yes. Do I have the upper body strength to save myself? Absolutely not. Now, my children do. They learned how to swim very young.
Yeah.
But even then, off the dock, Sam, I remember thinking this weekend, I want you guys to have life jackets.
I mean, the common knowledge, from what I understand, is as early as 6 months, they should be in and around the water, learning to bob, learning to float on their back. I was never taught to swim either. I learned how to swim by falling off of floaties as a child.
But are you a strong swimmer? What you would consider to be a strong swimmer?
When I was going out to California in the summer, I would go out and just, you know, wade in the waves to test my abilities. In hindsight, that probably wasn't very smart. But I never drowned. So I guess. I mean, I could stay in the ocean for like an hour without drowning.
Oh, see, I could never.
Yeah.
I don't have the upper body strength in waves. Like actual waves to save myself. And I know that. Like, God knows I would never want to be in the situation where I would have to test that out. My kids would do better than I would. I just don't think it's my thing because I waited too long. And I know people are probably saying if you're a swimming instructor, you can learn how to swim at any age.
I don't think it's ever too late.
Mm.
I mean, I still technically don't know how to swim. Like, you take me to a swimming pool and say, hey, I'm going to race you to the other side of the pool. I'm a large guy. I look pretty fast, probably.
But your legs
sink. Winning every single time
because
I don't know how to swim. I'll make it to the other side of the pool. It's just not going to be pretty.
913-586-7798. You can text in to Samuel. He watches over the text line for us this hour. 913-586-7798. We'll take your call straight ahead on Dana and Parks on KMBZ. So you might think that the majority of drownings across America would be children. And I'm not surprised to learn at all that that is not the case. especially after a busy fourth holiday. It's generally the 25-year-old male. It's one of the reasons if my sons go down to the Ozarks, I cannot relax until they are back home. That is also the Wild West out there during a holiday. You guys know this. Anyone who's been to the Ozarks during a holiday,
there are no lanes. People are drinking. Yeah.
There are no boat lanes. It just scares me to death. So listen to this. About 4,000 to 5,000 Americans drown each year. 4,000 to 5,000 people. Most are adults who die in natural bodies of water, such as lakes, ponds, or oceans. And even if you are a strong swimmer, it can happen to you when you're talking about lakes, ponds, and oceans. Drowning is still the number one cause of death for children ages 1 to 4 and one of the top killers of children ages 5 to 14. While the drowning rate is higher for white children in the younger group, 1 to 4, it is much higher for Black, Native American, and Alaskan Native children ages 5 to 14. And I heard Middays talking about this today, and I think I have a little bit of a different perspective on that. I think research bears this out. It's been a few years since we've talked about it. There is very much a socioeconomic component to swimming lessons. And we were very poor growing up. I've made no secret about that. We did not start at the local YMCA until it was too late for me. I was already so terrified of the water.
Okay.
That at age 11 or 12, it really was too late to throw me into the pool and say, figure out how to swim. Certainly the way they did it at the Y back then, which was throwing you in the pool and figure out how to swim. It just terrified me.
Right.
Part of that was we lived in an area of town that had no swimming pool. We did not have access until I was about 14 years old to a community center with a pool. We lived on the other side of the tracks. There were no pools. We didn't have friends who had swimming pools. We didn't have a lake house. We didn't have any of those things.
Which contributes to that socioeconomic divide.
Absolutely contributes to that divide.
Knowing how to swim because you don't have the availability to go and do it, and you're not going to go down to the murky pond at the park to try.
Do you know when we would go swimming, Sam? Once a year, maybe we would go to a water slide.
Yeah.
And you'd get down to the bottom. In Topeka, it was a water slide. It wasn't a water park. It was a water slide.
Right.
That was it. We just didn't. I cannot ever remember going on a vacation where there was a body of water. And if there was, I would have been terrified.
Well, in the image of everybody knowing how to swim in the 21st century, as we look at it now, it's incredibly new. Right.
There's more access, I think. Well, but I think in the inner city, they would tell you there's not.
I would say new just in terms of the last 100, 200 years. I mean, we talked about like 1883. The scariest thing in 1883 was crossing a river.
Yeah.
Why? Because nobody knew how to swim. So the fact that we're looking at it today and we're talking about the socioeconomic divide, it's actually surprising that the people in the higher income communities have such a high percentage of swimmers. Gemini breaks it down. High income countries boast 76% of the population claiming they can swim unassisted. It plummets after that, 37%, 38%. Yep. And you get down to what is considered third world, and they're moving away from that term. So now it's just lower GDP countries. Only 27% of people know how to swim.
And I still think that's high. So one of the reasons we're talking about this today, and this has been in our stack a couple of days, and I just never bit, for lack of a better word. So you've seen the headline. A toddler was declared dead after what they thought was a drowning. Toddler then wakes up in the morgue hours later. So that's been the headline. The dominant headline is one of those: toddler was declared dead at the scene. They tried to revive the kid, couldn't revive him. They take the kid to the morgue. He is in the morgue, and then toddler wakes up, for lack of a better word.
Hey guys, what am I doing here? I was at the pool having fun.
The police department today says they are now recommending to prosecutors that the parents who were nearby when the child went under the water in the pool be charged with child abuse. And here's why I want to talk about it. I don't know the socioeconomic background of this family. I am against charges being filed in this case, And that's one of the reasons why.
Really?
Arizona police today recommended upgraded felony child abuse charges against the parents of an 18-month-old boy who investigators say nearly drowned during a Super Bowl party earlier in the year. Now, there's a secondary headline within the four headlines you've just digested. We've got, he woke up in a morgue. They thought he was dead. He wasn't.
Yeah.
Now they're saying, we're going to charge. Here's the fifth sub-headline.
They were at a Super Bowl party.
They were at a Super Bowl party and admitted using marijuana.
Oh, doing drugs, drinking, so while now your kid's in the pool.
Now the headline is, parents are high, kid drowns. If this was alcohol, we would not be having this conversation. And I'm not a pot person. I don't have a dog in that fight. I don't like the way it smells. That's really where my involvement ends.
Okay.
They are now saying that despite the fact the kid drew national headlines for being mistakenly declared dead, the real story is parents were smoking pot, failed to supervise when the child went under the water. Here's what I know about 18 months old who go into the water. It does not look like it does in the movies. There is no splashing. There is no screaming for help. There is no, I'm drowning. It
they
doesn't
literally just float
work
face down
like that.
Yeah.
It is one of the most silent killers of ages 1 to 4. Remember, no matter what the race or socioeconomic background, it remains the number one killer between ages 1 and 4. The reason is it is so quiet. And anyone who's a lifeguard knows this. You see the child's eyes. They get bigger as they start walking down that ramp to the deep end. Mm-hmm. Bigger and bigger. No one ever screams. I do not think marijuana at this Super Bowl party had anything to do with this.
I'll agree
with
you there.
There were several adults that were around. Let's just not even mention the fact that a doctor pronounced this poor child dead when he wasn't. Was that doctor smoking something?
I'll agree with you that marijuana didn't play a role. We could even make the argument that alcohol didn't play a role. Whether or not they were doing any substances that would alter their judgment, reaction time, ability to pay attention, whatever, is it not still child neglect to pay so little attention to your 18-month-old that they float long enough face down in a body of water that they are professionally declared deceased by an EMT and then wake up in the morgue? I can't see a world where that isn't child neglect and charges should be filed.
The police report alleges that responding officers and Vincent's parents, this is important, I'm going to say it twice, responding officers and Vincent's parents questioned whether the toddler had actually died before he was pronounced dead. They said they believed he was still showing signs of life. Hospital staff reportedly told them that Vincent was exhibiting something called agonal breathing, an involuntary reflex that can occur after death. According to the report, a nurse later reported detecting a pulse after the child had been pronounced dead. Detectives alleged that the physician who made the initial determination maintained his assessment of death was correct and instructed hospital staff to stop life-saving measures despite concerns from the parents and the responding officers that the toddler appeared to still be breathing. Police did not recommend criminal charges against the physician.
Since they're 18 months old,
there's a lot going on here. You err on the side in a drowning. You err on the side when it is a child. You err on the side of life, not death. How many times have we heard child in an icy pond 2 hours later is able to be revived? The human body, a child's human body, is an incredible machine. Is an incredible machine. I think this is a shiny object. Let's look over here. Let's charge the parents. How many parents at a Super Bowl party are drinking every year during the Super Bowl, whether you own a pool or not? You're having a Super Bowl party. What are we against? 97%? I do not agree with the charges in this case. What do you think? 913-586-7798. I guess we could ask, should the doctor be charged? There's going to be a lawsuit here. You know there is going to be a lawsuit here. We'll take your call straight
in. The doctor definitely needs a retrain.
Oh, man.
Let's go back to school, that particular class.
Five people are saying, kid looks like he's still breathing. 913-586-7798. We're going to take your calls and texts straight ahead on this. You're listening to Dana and Parks. So a GoFundMe campaign for the family describes Vincent as a, quote, miracle baby. And yes, he is a miracle. Vincent was declared deceased. His devastated parents were sent home in unimaginable grief, but God had other plans. A little after 11:30 p.m., the family received a call no one expected. The medical examiner had detected a faint heartbeat. According to the fundraiser, his kidneys, lungs, and liver began shutting down after he arrived at Phoenix Children's Hospital. An MRI initially identified two small areas of potential brain damage, but later testing reportedly found no brain damage. He is going to need extensive therapy. Everyone at that pool is going to need extensive therapy after this crazy story. Let's go to Michael in Blue Springs. Hi, Michael.
Good afternoon, friends.
Hi, go ahead.
So real quick, and this, I don't want this to sound morbid. I was indirectly involved in an investigation of a drowning out in central Kansas at Lake Wilson.
Yeah.
And the Kansas Department of Wildlife Parks, they told me, you know, so I'm like, hey, did you find the body? And they acted really nonchalant, but they said, nope, he'll surface in a day or two. And I'm like, what? And I didn't know. I'm not a doctor. This is what they said, that when someone drowns, their body cavity fills up with water and they sink like a brick. And then I guess the oxygen in the blood and the body, it raises the body back within a day or two. And I don't know exactly how that would fit into this scenario. But if anything, with this young man that I was indirectly involved with, I had nothing to do with it. So, like, if there's a drowning and this happened to this kiddo, man, if someone goes down, there is all the potential in the world to save that person's life, I would assume. So I'm not a doctor. Maybe someone else can chime in, but that's just what I was told. And it sounds like this is a success, I think.
It is, Michael, but it's such a shocking, jarring, unimaginable, you know, I do believe doctors get it right 99.999% of the time, especially when there's a toddler involved. You err on the side of heartbeat. And if you had police officers at the scene saying they thought there were still signs of life, I don't understand how this got to the point that it did. Let's go to Carol in Topeka. Hey, Carol.
Hi, it's Carol E.
Go ahead. Hi.
Just wanted to tell you about an experience that Ray and I had.
Oh, yes. Hi, go ahead.
Yeah. Ray was in the Navy. And I had just moved over to Pearl Harbor, and we were in a hotel before we got our place to live. And I'd worked all afternoon. That was back before hair dryers, drying my hair, getting ready for dinner. Ray had gone in for a shower.
Yeah.
So I go out and sit by the pool, and I'm reading my book, and all of a sudden I hear this screaming, and I looked up. And there was this family that had arrived, two parents and four kids. And the little kid had jumped in the deep end and didn't know how to swim. So the dad went in after him, and he starts going under. So the mom's screaming, he doesn't know, nobody knows how to swim. So I look around for a float so I could throw it at him. None. There was no float. So I thought, something just popped in my head, and I didn't even know how to do it. I knew how to swim. I'm a pretty strong swimmer.
Yeah.
And so I thought, I'm going to make one of those ball-shaped people, you know, how kids will jump in the pool and it causes waves. And it's, I think there's a name, like you're in a round ball shape. And I did that because I knew if I jumped in at 125 pounds dressed, he'd drag me under.
Of course.
So the wave pushed the dad far enough where he could grab the side of the pool and grab the child. So we get out of the pool. I'm dragging out when Ray comes out and sees me.
What are you doing?
The pool, wet, and what have you. So that we sat around the family together, and I said, okay, what you're going to do now is you're going to go into the side of the pool that is not deep, and you're going to get that child back in the water. Because if you don't, that child will never want to go to water again. So they did that, and we all sat around, visited, had pizza. And the dad says to me, "You saved our lives today." And I said, "No, I just made a big wave." And he said, what can we do for you?" And I said, "I know what you can do. Tomorrow, all six of you are going to take swimming lessons."
Yes.
I said, "You, every one of you, are going to take swimming lessons, and you're going to have a good time. But don't come to Hawaii. There's water everywhere."
Yeah.
And so that's my story.
Well, I'm glad that you were there in the right place at the right time, and you have the biggest heart, Carol. I know that you do. For saving. And when he said you saved our lives, that's true, because they lose a child, their life is over as they know it. Listen to this. Oh, the more I read about this, the more angry I become.
I don't know how you don't charge the parents here as I'm reading through the story.
Oh, no, I don't know how you don't charge the ER doctor. Listen to this.
No.
Meanwhile, the emergency room physician who erroneously declared the child dead is coming under fire. Numerous news outlets have reported his name. I'm not going to report it here. It doesn't matter. This is in Phoenix. But he is an emergency medicine specialist at one of the hospitals that is not Phoenix Children's. Okay. He works at the hospital in which the declaration of death and subsequent morgue awakening occurred. As you can imagine, after that happened, get that kid the hell out of this hospital. I want them in a hospital where they know what they're doing. I mean, we can all understand that, right? Quoting a police report from February, NBC News reports that when the doctor was questioned about his decision to, quote, pronounce the boy dead while the child was still gasping for air, the doctor allegedly, quote, pulled rank. He is quoted as saying in the police report, "Please do your thing and let me do my thing. I went to medical school for a reason," end quote. The network says he referred a reporter seeking quotes to his lawyer. The hospital says, quote, "Because of this, as well as patient confidentiality, we are unable to make a full statement at this time. It is a heartbreaking situation. We immediately conducted a thorough review of all aspects of the care that was provided to learn what happened and to make meaningful changes to strengthen our care. Out of respect for the patient's privacy, we cannot discuss details." They would not say whether or not he remains on staff.
I don't think that we can charge the doctor, because doctors are allowed to make mistakes. Now, does this family have...
And then pull rank, Sam? He literally told police when they questioned him, "Are you sure this child is not alive?" He said, "Stay in your lane."
They have to in that situation, because the tensions are high. Everybody's freaking out. Everybody's asking questions. He has to do what his medical training told him to do. Now, did he do it wrong? Was there malpractice of some kind?
Yes.
Does this family have a lawsuit where they could make $10, $15 million off of this hospital? Maybe. I have no idea. But we can't charge the officer or the doctor. If anybody, we're charging the parents, because you allowed your 18-month-old near a body of water without paying attention to them.
It was the
host. Unacceptable.
It was the host family's pool, the host of the Super Bowl party. It was not the family's pool. It's not like they had a pool in their backyard. They
weren't paying attention.
They went to a house where there was a pool.
It would almost make more sense if it was their own pool.
Yep.
And they were like, "Yeah, our kid got out and fell in the pool." No, you went to a place with a body of water with an inherent danger for your 18-month-old. And the story actually says that they admitted to smoking pot in the morning. The pot doesn't matter. Alcohol doesn't. None of it matters.
You're going with charge the parents no matter what
you
in a situation.
You have to pay attention to your kid.
Sam.
You have to pay attention to your kid.
But horrifying accidents happen. And I feel like in this case, with respect to what the doctor did and did not do,
right,
it clouds the issue that they smoked pot in the morning. And so now we're going to blame mom and dad. It clouds the issue. Let's say this was just a child who slipped and fell in the bathtub and was underwater, right? And parents get there, he's swallowed water, they can't revive him, and then the doctor declares him dead, but he's not dead. You have to kind of separate out the facts of the case with everything, to me, with everything that happened after the declaration of death. You separate, forget how the boy drowned, did not drown. What happened in that moment that the police officers were saying, we think there's a pulse. A nurse was saying, I detect a faint pulse. And the doctor said, no, we're declaring him dead.
But if what his medical knowledge was telling him was that, yes, there could be a faint pulse, there could be this deceased breathing that's caused by drowning. If his medical knowledge was telling him that,
man,
he made his decision based on that expert knowledge. Was it wrong? Again, do they have a malpractice lawsuit? Probably. At the end of the day, you cannot charge the doctor. If we're going to go around charging every single doctor for making a mistake, nobody's going to become a doctor anymore. Because if they do one wrong step in an operating room, heck,
I know,
as your general
care practitioner,
now they're facing criminal charges.
You don't think this seems particularly reckless when you had other emergency responders, when you had police officers saying, I think there's a pulse, and the doctor said, stay in your lane. Come on.
I firmly believe that there should be a malpractice suit.
But not
you cannot
charges.
Criminally charge this doctor.
913-586-7798. We will continue this discussion straight ahead on Dana and Parks on KMBZ. So I looked this up. Globally, children under the age of 5 account for nearly a quarter of all drowning deaths. In the United States alone, it is hundreds of children every year. And I will remind you, it is the leading cause of death for children ages 1 to 4. And so for anyone who agrees parents should be charged, we can have that conversation. It would be hundreds of parents that would be charged because it is the leading cause of death for children ages 1 to 4. And if you've had toddlers, you know this. There is a mind-numbing, blowing amount of ways that age, especially, gosh, especially from 1 to 3, is
and
that's
fast.
That they can that things can go south so quickly.
I was the kid that fell into the pool. That was me. I learned how to float.
I was the person that used to say when police would say we found a toddler wandering in their diaper on this street. I was the person who used to say, how the hell does that? Then you have toddlers and you're like, yep. Can't believe it didn't happen 10 times to me.
And by the way, you mentioned that 1 to 4. The experts do recommend that if you have the means to do it, you get your kid into swimming lessons as early as 6 months.
6 months,
but
yeah.
Those same experts say that ages 1 to 3 are just getting acclimated to the water, learning how to survive. Then from 4 to 5, we can transition into actually learning how to swim. But there is no real mastery until we hit age 6. And I wouldn't even call that mastery, but that's according to the experts.
And that's where the socioeconomics comes in. Not everybody is going to be able to afford to do that. Let's go to Tim in Oak Grove. Hey, Tim.
Hey, I kind of agree with Sam that if the parents were paying attention, there would be no doctor to call the child dead or anything like that. So I think they should have been paying attention the whole time.
Yeah, I don't disagree, Tim. And I've always said this as a parent. I felt like the kids sometimes were in the most danger the more adults that are around. This was a Super Bowl party. So let's say there's 40 adults there, 20 couples, whatever. I always felt like looking back when we had an issue where something very scary happened with one of the kids. It was never when you, Tim, are home alone watching the child. It's when there's 15 adults around.
Because there are other distractions.
It's a false sense of security that you assume somebody's watching the kid, right? Listen to this. For children under 5, 87% of drowning fatalities happen in home pools or hot tubs. Kids under 5, 87% home pools or hot tubs that haven't been covered, right? Or the kids get in.
Yeah.
And my guess is the second highest percentage is the bathtub. It is absolutely heartbreaking.
And it's a little bit different when it's your own property. It's a little bit different when
if you own a pool,
bathroom
sure.
situation where they slip in the tub. It's tough for me because they put their child in this situation. And I'm not saying they're bad parents. They made a mistake. Mistakes happen. But we have an entirely separate criminal law for accidents for a reason. Just because it was an accident doesn't mean
it wasn't
criminal. It was negligent. They brought their kids to a situation where there was an inherent danger, and then they didn't pay attention to them. Whether that was for 5 seconds or 5 minutes, it had a nearly deadly consequence.
Deadly, and then it wasn't deadly because
according to the
physician,
doctor.
Like,
yeah.
How that shot, it is a miracle.
Yeah.
That's the one thing we're all going to agree on.
Thank God he's okay.
Little Vincent is a miracle baby.
Yeah.
A miracle baby. When we get back on Dana and Parks, there's a class action lawsuit against one of America's lovely storied restaurant chains. And when I tell you the reason why, I guarantee you, you're going to laugh. I literally guarantee you, you will laugh out loud when I tell you the reason why someone is suing this particular greasy spoon. That is coming up on Dana and Parks. And then also at some point today, we will get to the new Veterans Underground program.
Yeah.
Where in Hutch, over the weekend, so many veterans said for the first time, they had an anxiety-free 4th of July. The idea is brilliant. It is new. I don't know why we're not doing it here. And we're going to see if we can straight ahead on Dana and Parks.
And coming up next, we're going to be talking with kids and cars. It's hot out there. Got to keep the kids safe. Get the Dana and Parks podcast, KMBZ.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast. Just make sure to like, subscribe, and download.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.